Good morning. It's a wonderful, wonderful day. It's another day that the Lord has made, so let us all rejoice and be glad in it. I know that it's a little warm. I feel that up here, so if you see me with my handkerchief, you'll know. But we're blessed, and we should have no reason to complain about how hot it is, seeing that we have had one of the worst winters we've ever had. God blessed us then, brought us through. He's blessing us now, and He continues to watch over. God is good, and He's in control. I want to thank the elders this morning, again, for allowing me this time to come before you and speak to you again from God's Word. I pray that the message will be uplifting and bring glory to God. For that is our purpose. And all that we do is to bring glory to God. Blood. Blood is very important in the Bible. Start with Noah. Noah was forbidden to eat meat that had blood in it. Why? Because God said, blood is the life. Later on, this is also told to the Israelites that do not eat the blood or eat the meat that has the blood. It was to be drained completely. Now, if you shed another man's blood, this is also in Genesis 9 and verse 6. The first one was Genesis 9 and verse 4. If you shed another man's blood, your blood would be required. In other words, if you would murder somebody, if you would take somebody's life, then your life was required. In the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel were preparing to leave Egypt, and God had already brought 9 plagues. This was the last plague. The plague that would take the firstborn life. God instructed Israel then to take a certain animal, a lamb, to sacrifice this lamb and to take the blood, put it on the side and on the top, so that when the death angel would come, he would pass over. And this is a type that we'll examine later. It was used to consecrate the things of the temple. It was used to consecrate the altar. It was also used to ratify the covenant between God and Israel. You see, when Moses came down, he had the books, and he read them before the people. Then he took blood and sprinkled the books. Also, he sprinkled the people. And the people said, these things we will do. Therefore, ratifying the covenant. Its main use, though, is in sacrifices. And if you just open up the book of Leviticus, and it's too numerous to go through. There are many, many, many types of sacrifices. Each one is specified in how it's to be done, the type of animal used, whether you sprinkle the blood a certain amount of times, it's very specific. One of the ones that I want us to think about is the sin offerings. The one that was offered on the Day of the Atonement, where the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. You see, he had to do this once a year. Not only for the people, but first he had to do it for himself. This is a reminder, therefore, of sins every year. That's what the book of Hebrews tells us. Now, he also lets us know that there are the blood of bulls and goats. Read that again. The blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. You see, there was no power in that blood. It had no power. It had no ability to do anything. And you could almost argue with me, well, what was the point behind it? Why offer all these sacrifices if there was no forgiveness of sin? Well, when we look at the book of 1 Samuel, we understand that Saul was the king of Israel at the time, and he was told to go and to utterly destroy everything, not to bring anything back. But good old Saul decided he was going to bring a bunch of stuff, a bunch of cows and different sheep and cattle or whatever, and he was going to bring it. And then when Samuel confronted him about it, he said, well, this is for sacrifice to God. Samuel said to him, it is better to hearken than the fat of rams. Better to obey than to offer up a slew of sacrifices. So the point of all of this was obedience. Learning to be in accord with God's will. To obey God. Also in Psalms 51, verse 16 and 17, David writes, that the proper attitude is this. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The proper sacrifice before God is a broken and contrite spirit. So, having the right attitude and the right action went hand in hand. Therefore, what these sacrifices were showing that you had the right heart toward God and that you were in accordance with His will. Now, Hebrew writer in Hebrews, excuse me, Hebrews 10, Hebrews 10, and starting at verse 5. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written to do your will, O God. Here, this is a quote from Psalm 40. Here we see that there is to come a sacrifice, a body. And we know that to be Jesus Christ, right? We know that Jesus was going to come and make the ultimate sacrifice. And in that blood, there is power. In that blood, in the blood of Jesus Christ that flowed down from Calvary's Hill, flowed down from the cross, there is power. And I'm going to take for a subject this morning, there is power in the blood. There is power in the blood because it's pure. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 19, you were redeemed not with things that are corruptible like gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In the New King James Version, it says, as of a lamb without blemish or without spot. In the New International Version, it just basically says, a lamb. But I want us to see that there is a comparison. Sacrifices in the Old Testament could not be an old and sickly animal. They could not have a broken leg. They could not be spotted and speckled. They had to be as pure as you could get it. It had to be physically pure. Now, in comparison, when we think about the verse that we have here, it says that Jesus was the Lamb of God without blemish, without spot. We know that he's not talking about physical condition here. It's not talking about his physical, whether he had physical defects. We're looking at something much deeper. Spiritually, he was without blemish. Spiritually, he was without spot. What am I saying? He was without sin. There was no defect found because he was without sin. Now, even when they took him before the Sanhedrin court to accuse him, to find some reason that they could accuse him, to put him to death, they had to parade in all of these false witnesses because there was nothing truly to condemn him for. There was nothing that they could say that where it would say he was in the wrong. Even when they came up with the reason, it wasn't a reason. Because what he said before them, what he confessed, was the truth. Hebrews says that we don't have a high priest that cannot sympathize with us. We don't have a high priest that doesn't understand what you and I are going through. Because in all points, like you and I, Jesus was tempted, yet without sin. Now, when you think back to the time when he had been fasting for 40 days, this is just before his ministry, and he was led into the wilderness, and he faced the devil himself and did not falter. I like what Luke says about the young man Jesus. It says that he grew in both stature and wisdom and in favor before God and man. You see, Jesus walked this earth, though he was 100% God. We have to understand he was 100% man at the same time. And he went through everything that we went through. He walked this earth and he always said, I'm not here to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. He put himself under the law. In accordance to, we studied this morning about the traditions that the Pharisees, they had taken the law and just kind of taken it and twisted it and turned it and put traditions in it. And not according to that, but according to the true law he was in accordance with. There's power in the blood. Because of what it does. There's power in the blood, not because of what it does, but for what it does. It reconciles. Paul talks about in Ephesians about the Gentiles who were once afar off. He talks about them in Romans. Those that were apart from the commonwealth of Israel. That knew nothing about the law. That they were reconciled with the Jews. And they took the wall of partition, that which separated them, reconciled them to himself into one. Church. Now the word itself means literally to exchange, to bring into a changed relationship. With the blood of Christ, we are changed. Our relationship is changed. We now have a right relationship with God based on the blood of Jesus Christ. We were once without God. But through the mercy, the love, the grace of God, and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we are now able to walk with God. We are now able to live close to God, to talk to God. And that comes because of the blood. It redeems. The word here means to tear loose, to rescue, referring to purchase, a ransom. I like that last one, a ransom. See, we just talked about the purity that Jesus had. He was not, there was nothing that we can accuse him with. He paid a debt that he did not owe. See, the wages of sin is death. He paid a debt that he did not owe. And we owed a debt that we could not pay. And it was because of his blood that we have been redeemed. Redeemed. Bought back. We were bought with a price, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The price is the pure, unadulterated blood of Christ. That bought us back. We were slaves to sin. And through his blood, we are no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness. It justifies. The word, a better translation of this word is to be that it makes us just as we had not sinned. Justified freely through his blood. Made again. All of this comes to that same idea that we were put into a different relationship. We were changed. It cleanses. Cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It purifies. It covers. Covers a multitude of sins. There's power in the blood in its reach. It reaches back. Isaiah 43 and verse 5 talks about blotting out their transgressions and remembering their sins no more. Jeremiah talks about that there's a new covenant. Not the one like I made with your fathers that you broke. But through that covenant, there would be forgiveness of sins. 1 John. When we look at the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, we see all of these men. We see Abraham, who believed, and his faith was counted for righteousness. We see these men that walked upright before God. But it wasn't the blood of the bull and the goat. The blood of Christ reaches back. The blood of Christ now is able to pay for their sins. Those faithful men that kept the word of God, that walked upright before God. His blood reaches forward to us today. It is available to us right now. But I think more importantly, because we understand, we've been in the church for a little while, we understand that the blood is here for us. And we'll get a little bit further into that. But it continues to work for us. I think we need to get that in our understanding. The blood continues. Now, this is 1 John 1 and 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Christ, what? Continues to free us from our sin. See, we've one verse down in John and lets us know that we sin. Just because we have come forward, we're still human. And we still will fall. If you say you have no sin, then you're lying, the truth is not in you. But if you're faithful to confess your faults, He is faithful and just to forgive you. That's the blood continuing to work for you. The key word here is that we must continue to walk. We must continue to follow that path. We must continue to hold to that faith. Hebrews 10:23, hold fast to that confession of hope that you confess to. Hold fast. Don't let anything sway you. Don't let anything deter you from this path. Don't let things make you go askew. We talked about the different soils. And one of them was where the cares of the world would pop up. See, they are all around us. The things that we were around before don't cease to exist. We're in the world. We have to live in this world. But we have to live in this world as a Christian. We have to live in this world following Christ, following God, following the Word, staying, holding on to it. Paul says in Philippians, not that I have obtained it, but that I press on. I continue down that path. Peter, in his second book, talks about he wants to bring us to remembrance of the things that you have learned. I want you to continue to remember all that you have been taught so that you don't deviate, so that you don't fall away. James says, and he who endures temptation, that man will receive a crown of life. Who is faithful to death, that person will receive a crown of life. If we want to make it through to the other side and see God and see heaven, we got to continue. We can't. Now, if you want to go to the judgment, we all are going. Hebrews 9:27 is appointed to man once to die, and then after that, everything's okay. No, it's the judgment. We're all going before the judgment seat of Christ. You can't go there thinking that everything's going to be all right if you're not covered in the blood. You're not going to be able to see into heaven unless you're covered in the blood. There's going to be, what did Jesus say? Many are going to say in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons? Another way of saying, didn't I go and see the sick? Didn't I visit the prisons? Wasn't I a good person? But if you're not there, covered in the blood, you have a very bad outcome. He's going to tell you, depart from me, I never knew you. It's the blood that gets us past the gates. It's the blood that He sees that is justifying us. It's the blood that He sees that makes us white as snow, where we will have a raiment, a garment that is white. We will be given a name, a new name. All of this is because we are covered in the blood. That's the only way. That is the only way. Because there's power in the blood. And the power is that God sees us as His child. Now the question then comes this morning, how do I get into the blood? How do I get the power of the blood into my life? What do I need to do that I'm covered, that my sins are forgiven? What do I need to access the blood? First, you come by hearing. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But what is it that we are hearing? We're hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, death, burial, resurrection. We need to hear that Jesus came to this earth, walked as a man, was accused, was put to death on the cross, that he was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. That's the gospel. That's what we need to hear. That's the message that brings about salvation. But see, it doesn't stop there, because you have to act on that. Their action starts with belief. Belief in what? Belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Belief that there is power in the blood. Belief that I can be saved. But not only that, you have to believe that you need it. You have to understand that all have sinned, Romans 3:23, and fallen short of the glory of God. You need to know that you need to be in a right relationship with God. That you're not in the right relationship unless you obey the gospel. See, when Peter preached the sermon in Acts chapter 2, he went systematically down the list, accusing them and telling them they were the ones that put the Christ to death. And when he got down to verse 37, what did they say? Men and brethren, what should I do? It pricked the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, it pricked their heart. And they wanted to know what it is I need to do to be saved. Peter then tells them, repent and be baptized. Repent, turn away from your sinful desires, change your mind, decide you're going to live a new life. Not like the life you've been living. You're going to leave that life and turn your life around and then be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Now, John, 1 John chapter 5 talks about there's a relationship. He said, and he came by water and by blood. That there's a relationship between the water and the blood and the Spirit. All three agree on earth. We're talking about water baptism. We're talking about immersion. We're talking about being able to contact the blood. You contact it when you're immersed in water. That's where they agree. That's where they come together. Perhaps there are those that have walked astray. We know the devil is very active. We know that we don't always make the right decisions when it comes to temptation. That goes from the elder to the preacher to anybody. We all can stumble. And we all do sometimes. Because there's not one of us perfect. The only perfect one is Jesus Christ. So perhaps you've gone astray. Perhaps you're just struggling with something. Maybe you just need the prayer of the church to help you through a difficult time. There's always power in prayer. We talk about power in blood, there's power in prayer. Going to boldly before His throne, being able to have the prayers of the church lifted up for you. That's a beautiful thing. That's something that we all need. If there are any desires among you, if any feel the need to answer this invitation, won't you do so as together we stand and sing the song?